Hello, welcome, and dobrodošli to Feel Slovenia, the podcast. In each episode, we will explore what I have called the world's best country, meeting locals, traveling, eating, and getting to know the very best of Slovenia. This podcast is written and hosted by me, Dr. Noah Charney, and is brought to you by the Slovenian Tourist Board. For this episode, I visited the Garden Village Resort beside Lake Bled, Slovenia's most popular tourist destination. This is no ordinary resort. It transported me back to a favorite film of my youth. When I was a kid, I used to love the Disney film Swiss Family Robinson. A family is shipwrecked on a tropical island and learns to survive there, befriending local animals and avoiding a band of pirates. But the best part was what they built. Using natural resources and salvaged bits of their ship, the family created this amazing network of tree houses, full of mechanical inventions to bring fresh water up to the trees, and later traps and gizmos to chase off those mean pirates. When I showed the film to my daughters, I was once more enchanted by those tree houses, sleeping in the canopies, wholly surrounded by nature. Wouldn't it be cool to actually sleep in an elaborate tree house? Many children have such a fantasy, but us grown-ups, well, we tend to like our comforts, especially when on holiday. Could a treehouse be made in a fancy, glamorous way that would appeal to adults and still excite children and the inner child in those grown-ups? Welcome to Garden Village Bled. I went to visit this resort without knowing what to expect. I knew that it featured high-end glamping and that it was right next to Lake Bled, one of the must-see tourist destinations in the world, but I knew little else. I like glamping. I'm a bit shy to admit that I'm a creature of comfort, so actual camping isn't my cup of tea. But glamping allows for the delights of camping without any of the aspects that don't suit me. Normally, you stay in semi-permanent tents or wooden structures that have a camping feel, but which don't leak in the rain, offer indoor plumbing, and cater to the guest, rather than requiring the guest to do the work required of a campsite. So I had something of this in mind when I arrived on a bright, sunny day. I was greeted by Dejan, who showed me around. He had a knowing look in his eye. I got the feeling that I wasn't the first visitor that he knew was in for a very pleasant surprise, not knowing quite what to expect. As soon as we entered the space, I felt transported to a luxury version of that Swiss Family Robinson world. Garden Village Bled consists of a variety of glamping experiences, but the focus are tree houses. Actual wooden cabins set high up in the trees, connected by elevated wooden walkways that allow you to nestle into nature without disturbing it. The site is on a slope that runs down to a crystalline stream, cool even in the heat of summer. There is an organic restaurant with actual grass in the middle of its tables. How organic is it? Well, Dejan showed me an extensive vegetable garden that was part of the resort, perfectly manicured. Not only did the restaurant use this, growing as much as they could on site, but guests were welcome there as well, to garden or gather whatever looks good to them to eat on the spot or cook themselves. There is a lagoon beside the restaurant's terrace that looks entirely natural, floored with pebbles, water grasses, and reeds, a beach installed beside it, but it can be used for swimming. And then we get to the treehouses. Imagine if the Swiss Family Robinson had all the best ingredients available, including the latest technology and comforts of a high-end hotel, but chose to build a treehouse anyway. It makes sense that there's an alpine chic flair to these treehouses, since Bled is a jewel of the Alps. But I headed straight for the rope net that stretches above the second floor of the two-story treehouse to lie in the sky. My inner child was jumping for joy. Heck, there's even a drawbridge that you can close behind you when you retire to your treehouse for the night. No need to, really. There are no pesky pirates around. But every kid wants a treehouse with a drawbridge, right? I spoke to Dejan about Garden Village. Dejan, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me. So when I visited, I found myself transported to every child's fantasy of living in a treehouse. I remember the old film Swiss Family Robinson came to mind. But you've created the most glamorous treehouses one could imagine. What was the concept behind Garden Village?
The idea behind a garden village was to intertwine the tourism with the nature, so that individual would, back then when we have started, experience a cozy stay in the middle of the wood or gardens with a touch of a comfort. So luckily we have an amazing topography and possibilities to actually incorporate the objects like tree houses, for example, in the treetops.
When I was growing up, I spent some holidays on the island of St. John in the U.S. Virgin Islands at a resort called Maho Bay that was famous for having zero imprint. The entire resort was seamlessly integrated into the jungle and was designed so that if it were removed, there would be no trace of it within 10 years, the jungle returning to its natural state. There was an echo of this feeling when I visited you. Tell me about your eco-focus in terms of design, building materials, food, and also your distinctive swimming pool that isn't technically a swimming pool.
Zero imprint is definitely important. Most of our units placed in the woods can be removed so that there'd be no trace of it after a certain period. We mostly used local wood and materials that have low impact on the ecosystem. Self-sufficiency is something that drives us and is one of the biggest parts of the company. In 2019, a sun factory was integrated to reduce other energy sources. We have our own water source, which fills our biotop pool, where no chemicals are used and is completely ecological. The plants are basically cleansing the water, which filters itself through the volcanic sand so that the pH balance stays neutral, so the plants and animals can prosper. The biggest challenge and something that we are focusing every year is to increase the percentage of the produce grown on our resort and is used in a restaurant.
I love that you grow so much of your own produce. Tourists who come to Bled will visit the island and castle and eat kremschnitte, of course, that wonderful layer cake that is so iconic for Lake Bled. Those are the obvious things, but what do you recommend for visitors to enjoy in the area beyond the obvious?
We are definitely focusing on recommending the scenery behind what is obvious, not just for the centralized purposes of Bled, but for the guests to experience our beautiful Triglav National Park, with its beautiful lakes, mountains, and paths.
What makes Garden Village unique?
Since we had an explosion of beautiful glampings in Slovenia, maybe our uniqueness derives from pure love to the nature, our complex topography, and of course a strong ecological disposition, which can be easily felt as soon as you walk through our resort.
What will guests get to do if they sign up for your unique experience offering?
The unique experience includes, among the obvious, which is sleeping in the treetops, also a presentation of the functional architecture and a walk through the self-sufficient gardens, where a guest can pick and eat our produce. You can join our gardeners for an educational experience, not to mention our bird-nest-shaped sauna and dipping in a natural biotop pool. These are just a couple of offerings that are the part of a unique experience.
What makes Slovenia so special that tourists inevitably fall in love with it?
Slovenia is a small and green country where the mountains meet the sea in less than 2 hours of driving. It is rich with tradition, which reflects in amazing food and exceptional hospitality, and has beautiful landscapes, architecture, and monuments.
Now that we've heard about Garden Village, I'm getting hungry, aren't you? So what is there to eat around Lake Bled? Mark my words, you will eat the cream cake. Oh yes, you will eat the famous Bled cream cake and you will love every minute of it. Of course you must, because it is the thing to do. It is also completely delicious and a culinary delight that is worth a journey. But the Bled cream cake is so well known that it's almost a cliché. That's okay. There's a reason why tens of thousands of people every year come to Bled to admire the views, enjoy nature, and eat the local specialty they've heard so much about. My family has always looked forward to holidays based on things we're excited to eat. We once drove 4 hours from my home in New Haven in the U.S. to Baltimore just to try a local French fry. We would eat our way around the world, and the rest of what we did on holiday was just killing time between meals. We're the sort of family that would get in an airplane and fly to Slovenia just to eat bled cream cake. So yes, you are here, and eat it, and you'll love it. But it turns out that there's a lot more to the gastronomic cultural heritage of Bled. The cream cake is just the tip of the creamy and multi-layered metaphorical iceberg. If I'm flying all the way to Slovenia, even if my primary focus is on eating a slice of Bled cream cake, or five, then I want to know what else I can eat while I happen to be on location. There are three meals in a day, or to be honest, there can be as many as you want there to be. So there is plenty of time to taste the local wares. And one of my favorite things to do is not just taste what is hyper-local, but also to meet the people who make it and hear the stories behind the dishes. It's my kind of party to set out and explore the gastronomy of Bled beyond the famous cream cake. I wanted to eat my way through local specialties that I had never heard of before. So with a photographer, Boris, we set out on one of the first blazing hot summer days of the year, map in hand, in a loop around the periphery of Bled. Our first stop was Bled Garden Village. We've already been there and heard about it. But what impressed me was they have a zero waste program. All organic scraps are fed to local indigenous blackstrap pigs, who, by the way, are renowned as the best in the world for prosciutto and other delicacies in which high fat content is desirable. And then these pigs are ultimately fed to guests who order them in a beautiful edible circle. Boris and I drove to a village just outside of Bled, where the elegant Matea Rish greeted us literally in her own backyard, a perfectly manicured lawn set against the backdrop of a church in the near ground, and the Alps a bit farther back. Beneath a covered terrace stood an outdoor kitchen at which her son was separating the stems from elderflowers, which grew a few meters away. Matea is best known as the creator of Bled teas, which are sold throughout Bled. They vary in their ingredients based on what is seasonal in mountain pastures in the area and in her elaborate garden. Small quantities are a must because Matea gathers everything by hand and dries it herself. This means that her knowledgeable hands have selected and prepared every leaf and flower that goes into her products. She offers culinary experiences for visitors in a variety of languages and based on the preferences of the guests, who may want a workshop on local herbs and flowers, or to learn to make traditional cakes like the national pastry potica, or even have a cookout. Across the street from her home, with her adorable dog frolicking alongside us, meanders a labyrinth decorated and edged with various local flowers and herbs. She encouraged us to walk the spirals of the labyrinth and breathe in the scent of the herbs warmed by the sun in a form of herbal meditation. Then off we went to the nearby village of Zasip, which Slovenia's most famous poet, the romantic Francis Prešeren, called the Altar of Gorenska, the mountain region, the spiritual heart of this part of Slovenia. But it is colloquially known as Pergaria, with its claim to fame being the multifaceted use of a very special type of pear, tepka, which is indigenous to Slovenia and Austria. When these pears are dried, they are called perga, so the nickname of the village, Pergaria, might be translated as dried pear land. I could tell I was going to like it. Any location known for a single, superior specialty is far more exciting for me than a place of general qualities. As I teach in my writing classes, specificity, and if we're honest, quirkiness, is always more memorable and attractive than the generic. So a tiny village known far and wide for dried pears? I'm in. The story goes that the 18th century Habsburg Empress Maria Theresa sought to limit famine by planting crops, particularly in poor areas, and one of the staples were tepka pear trees. The area around Bled and Zasip was so poor that sometimes all they had was this abundance of pears, and the innovative locals had to come up with myriad ways to use them. This village became ground zero for preparing a huge variety of dishes based on this very special type of pear. The best-known creation is tepkovits, schnapps made from fermented and distilled pears, but that is only the starting point. Once the pears are dried and become perga, then they are used in a huge array of dishes, savory and sweet alike. The key to this is the trick of grinding the dried pears into a powder that can be used instead of wheat flour. bread is baked from it, as are a variety of pastries. The purga are processed through meat grinders, then walnut grinders, to produce the fine flour. Then the only limit in how to use them is the imagination. Thankfully, Buyana Pipan has imagination in spades. She's the godmother of cooking with purga, and she's such an adorable grandmother that my first question for her, as a visiting writer, was whether I could give her a hug. I'm pleased to say that she accepted. Boris and I could barely conceal our delight as we tucked into Boyana's creations. There were three different spreads, one with barley and lentils, another with local curd cheese, the third with beans and bits of pork. There was fresh bread made with pear flour and studded with bits of pear, and there was even potitsa, the national pastry, likewise made with, you guessed it, dried pear flour. With more time and without having to worry about picking up my daughters from kindergarten later on, I could have easily parked there for the whole day and tasted my way through the complete offering, fortified by purga-fueled delicacies. The story of this village, with its famous dried pears, continued at the local inn, Gostilna Kure, where they feature a special recipe from Boyana's cookbook, a national specialty, shtrukli, which I never know how to translate as the exact dish doesn't really exist in the Anglophone world. Shtrukli are made of thin dough into which a filling is laid before the dough is rolled tightly into a tube, wrapped in cloth, and cooked in boiling water. It is then sliced so that it resembles a roulade, but it is lighter and thinner than what you're probably imagining. There are savory and sweet varieties, and Boyana's purga shtrukli are sweet, packed with pear and served with a side of pear sauce, plus a slice of fresh pear dipped in chocolate. If this pear-tastic experience sounds somewhat repetitive, I should emphasize that it is not. The cornucopia of things that you can do with fresh and dried pears mirrors the myriad experiences you can do with other master ingredients, like rice or wheat or potatoes or beans. The sky is the limit, and I love the fact that this is not only local to Slovenia, but hyper-local to a single village next to Lake Bled. You as a tourist get an experience so specific and yet rich in tradition that most Slovenians have never tried it. The biggest surprise is that it happens to be just 5 minutes from Bled, the most visited tourist site in the country, yet only the sharpest of travelers think to come here. You can take a class on cooking with Boyana, hugs optional, and taste the delicious pear schnapps and delicacies at the Trglau farm, which we also visited, and sample the shtrukli and have an experience that even locals would be envious of. Life doesn't get much better than this. But now Boris and I should probably go for a run around the lake a few dozen times to work off the day's delights, because the next stop, you guessed it, is Kavarna Park on Lake Bled for that legendary cream cake. Hvala and thank you for listening to Feel Slovenia the podcast. This podcast is brought to you by the Slovenian Tourist Board and was written and presented by Dr. Noah Charney. Please subscribe to get each new episode and tell all of your friends interested in travel and all things Slovenia. If you'd like to learn more, visit slovenia.info. For more information, you're welcome to follow our social media channels, Feel Slovenia on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, LinkedIn, YouTube, and TripAdvisor.